The Drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.
Oh, you know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Wes Smith, Brady Kennedy. Brady, I tell you, I'm always nervous when we record a podcast after a week like this week. College basketball in full swing. The Cats in less than a month. Mark Pope leads them to number four in the country. And you already know how me, you, and the even more extreme Big Blue Nation feels when Kentucky gets ranked that high. And then we go in to an environment like Clemson and we take our first loss of the season. So I'm always nervous that I'm going to get on here and just say a bunch of stuff that I shouldn't say, don't want to say after a Cats loss like that.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. Excited for our guest today, but also, Blue, it looks like you're growing some facial hair. No Shave November is over, Blue.
Man, listen, I don't know what's going on there. It was kind of one of those things where, like, I ran out of razors for a little while, and then I bought razors, but it's like, it's been going for a minute, so I don't know. I really don't know what's happening.
Getting cold. Get some good fur.
It's wintertime, man. It's snow started falling in Lexington, so. Oh. You, on the other hand, looks like you've got a fresh cut and you've got the fresh shave.
Fresh cut, courtesy of Great Clips, plugging them right now. You know, can't mess up not a whole lot of hair, so it's all right.
Win in Dallas, right?
Yes, win in Dallas.
Host Brady Kennedy joining us live from Dallas, Texas today.
Stand up,
he
baby.
Calls it work, but I don't know what the real reason for being in Dallas is.
Yeah. Now we'll call it work. Some fun, right? But
Absolutely.
It's 56 degrees here. A little bit chilly. Wore my winter coat, but it's all good.
Well, that sounds a lot better, Brady, than where I am sitting today and also where our guest is sitting today. You mentioned you were excited about our guest. I am too, man. You know, when we get to talk about hoops, you know, I like football. When I was coaching, I probably liked watching football better than basketball. But now that I'm out and I'm getting to do nothing but watch and talk basketball, I'm back into the swing. So, man, we've got a guest on here today that you could talk any sport with, but especially basketball. Joining us from, I assume he's in Lexington, Kentucky today.
That's correct. That's correct.
Good friend of ours, ladies and gentlemen. Not now, when we say this name, a lot of people might just turn off the podcast, you know, and that's fine. But we are not talking to the person you think maybe first comes to mind to you when you think podcast in this name. But we are here today, ladies and gentlemen, with the real Matt Jones. Matt, thank you for being on You Know the Drill, sponsored by MCHC, with us today. Dude, we're pumped to have you and talk some hoops.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Was excited when you guys started the pod and have listened. So excited to get my chance to have my go around to talk a little basketball and whatever other randomness you guys come up with.
Well, we have to ask him, what's your favorite? What'd you think of? We've had some legends on, including Winston Lee, Seth Curlock, and of folks. Well, what's been your favorite thus far?
Good question. I would probably go. Well, anybody in our kind of group of friends is always going to be highly entertaining. But really anything when you, as like a basketball junkie, I know you've had some former players on just getting their insights on their playing career and, you know, what their insights on basketball now at UK and various places. I always, I'm a basketball guy at heart, so I always like to hear people talk basketball, whoever that might be.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
It's always interesting to hear what other people think because, you know, we've had some guests like Landon Young from the Saints, and I feel like that drew a completely different crowd than our usual podcast crowd. And then, you know, when we have hoops on here and we have guests like Dakari Johnson and Nate Sestina and Preston Spradlin and Matt Jones, I feel like it's a little bit of a different crowd than we have at other times when you pull a Seth Curlock and Winston Lee on. So it's always interesting to hear, but I had a feeling that's the route Matt would go. Brady, I know you're the same way. I can't wait to dive into this with Matt a little bit for our listeners. We speak to Matt, I feel like me and Brady speak to you almost on the daily. You know, you're one of our favorite people in this world, and I'm excited for the rest of the world, even those that know Matt Jones. I'm excited for them to hear maybe a little bit of the Matt Jones story they don't know. So that is going to be extremely fun. Let's jump into that, Brady and Matt. What, you know, obviously most people in basketball will get their start in life at some point by playing basketball. Obviously you played some high school hoops, you played some college hoops. Let's start with that. Tell us, did you know at the time of collegiate hoops in your playing career that basketball was going to be something you were stuck with the rest of your life, or did that come later on?
For me, at least from the coaching perspective, I never had any intention of going into coaching. I think it was maybe like my sophomore year playing some playing JUCO ball. I had teammates who, you know, I would say stuff and they'd kind of make fun of me, like, "Man, you're gonna be a coach someday," and I would just shake my head and like, "There's no way I want to do that stuff." And then, you know, fast forward. As my college career went on, I went on to play at NAI school and didn't have a great experience. My body kind of betrayed me and my ankles were bad. And I just kind of realized like this is going to wind down here pretty fast. So when I was done playing, like a lot of people, they're like, "Well, what's next?" And I really didn't have a, you know, a great plan. Didn't know what I really wanted to do once I finished undergrad. So for me, you know, the coaching thing started to weigh on my mind a little bit more, and I knew some other people had gone on to be like graduate assistant coaches in the basketball realm, where you know you can go get a master's degree, usually get it paid for while working for a basketball team at the collegiate level. So for me, it was like maybe that's the path I'll take, just because my undergrad I just got like a interdisciplinary studies bachelor's degree that didn't really set me up for a ton. Where I was like, "All right, I'll go get some more education, try this basketball thing. Worst thing, I come out of it, you know, in a year or two with a master's degree and have a little bit clearer direction." So started pursuing that, and then, you know, fell into a graduate assistant spot, and probably within a month of being a GA, I knew like I was hooked. Nothing's really changed about it since then.
And Brady, I feel like that suits Matt. Him just saying that, like me and you and Matt Jones as well, I just do not see as office people, right? Like we're not the kind of people to go get a degree and sit in an office all day. Like we're a little bit more hands-on. We like to be out. So Matt, I'm not surprised at all that, you know, that would unfold for you in that way. You know, I feel like Brady, you were, in case our listeners have not heard this yet, or one of our co-hosts Brady here was a collegiate soccer player.
Until I realized I didn't want to run anymore. I guess I can use Matt's out. My body failed me, is what I'm gonna say. It really, long story short, I just really didn't feel like running anymore and paying a lot of money for school. And so, yeah, soccer was a different beast for running, but yeah, no, I wasn't very good.
That I feel like that's an excuse we have. Just the thought of the word run makes my body fail.
I'll actually give you a guess. Guess what they made us get our 2 mile in before we could play a game?
So 2 mile.
2 miles. I to even be registered to play in the game.
Matt, you want to take a guess at that?
That's a good question. I mean, if you're doing like a 5:30 1 mile, you're really doing something. So double that, maybe 11-ish. I don't know.
I
I'm not.
guess. Yes. 12. I had to have it under 12:30.
That's pretty
Which
intense.
is cooking.
And you got it.
I got it. I got it in like 12:10. But I was chasing people. Like, you know how like I did it all summer and I could never get it done. Like I was doing it on my own, never completed. So I went into preseason never finishing it. So I didn't know if I was ever even going to be eligible to play. I was like, "Oh my God." So then I did it and I was just chasing people and you finally did it, but dude, it was impossible. I don't even think I could do a mile in 12, 1 mile in 12 minutes and 30 seconds right now.
So did you only have to do it the one time?
Yeah, one time. I was sore for like a month. Different beat, man.
Well, Matt Jones, I feel like we did not have to run a 12-minute 2 mile to get into the basketball coaching career. You mentioned, you know, that thought of GA and getting into it that way. Walk us in from there. So your mind has decided now you want to give this a shot. Obviously it pays off. You're still in the career of basketball to this day as we sit here talking. So where do you land first, man? Where does that Matt Jones coaching career, basketball career, what's the first stepping stone in that pathway?
My first stop as the GA was at a D2 school in Alabama called Spring Hill College. Spent 2 years down there. Full-time grad student, full-time coach. A great experience, but an experience I'd never want to do again. It was a lot. So I did that. I coached junior college in Miami for a year. And then I was a prep school coach at Combine Academy in Charlotte, which it's kind of turned into a national prep school powerhouse kind of since my time there. So those were kind of my first few stops along the way.
Matt, you know that I'm not going to let this opportunity go by without us getting a great laugh in about your GA spot. You're nodding your head already because you know exactly. Brady, I feel like you might have either tuned into this or at least have heard the story. So for the listeners that know Alice Lloyd College, a lot of our listeners do, where my coaching career started. Matt Jones just said his coaching career kind of started at Spring Hill University in Alabama. We decided, me and Matt, you know, we and Brady have been friends for a long time. Me and Matt decided, we got together and we were like, hey, let's play. You know, Matt was like, we've got these openings. Y'all should come down. We'll pay for your hotels. We'll give you a little stipend to come down and play us. So we make the decision, me and Coach J.R. Hammond at Alice Lloyd College make the decision to travel down to Mobile, Alabama. We make it a 2-game series while we're down there, not with Spring Hill, but we play University of Mobile, right? And then the next day we decide to play Spring Hill University while we're down there with Matt Jones on staff here. And y'all, if you like basketball, Matt, was it not a game to watch? Like,
it was definitely a back and forth affair. I spent a lot of time talking to our head coach and the head coach at University of Mobile trying to set this all up. They had an open date and trying to help them with hotels and get everybody there, and a whole lot went into it. And we went into it thinking like, all right, this is a game I think we can win. And we were like a younger program, a lot of young players. I'm like, all right, this, I coach, I think this could be a win. So I kind of put my neck out there. And then sure enough, we go blow for blow with these guys. And it was a high level college basketball game, went overtime, and they end up beating us. And, you know, after the game, the head coach is looking at me. It was like, you know, you told me you thought this was a pretty winnable game, and a good lesson for a young coach.
I didn't realize, I knew y'all, but I didn't realize Blue, you guys beat them.
Well, it's controversial, and I want to ask Matt if he remembers this right. For a lot of our listeners that I know listen to this podcast, Spring Hill, you guys had, Matt, I cannot remember his name, but you guys had a kid from, I think, was it Indiana?
Yeah.
You had a guard from Indiana who was a baller. What was his name?
Sawyer Glick, Indianapolis kid, 6'4", white kid who could, like, really, really shoot it.
Oh man, he was a player. I never will forget just you know, scouting a little bit and looking at the roster and getting the scouting report ready, but then walking into the gym that day, and you know, when the Spring Hill team comes out on the court, you knew which one he was. You know, there was that swagger about him, and you know, we had a talented squad as well at the time. We had Shane Hall, former Marshall commit. Dogs barking in the background there. Shane Hall, former Marshall commit that decommitted and came to Alice Lloyd. A lot of the listeners will remember Tyler Rogers from Paul Lawrence Dunbar, Cody Stumbo from South Warren in Western Kentucky, DeAndre Warren. I got to give a shout out to DeAndre from Newark, New Jersey. He listens to the podcast from time to time. Jake Hanshew, who was a player from North Carolina, original Kentucky native that came back to us, played prep over there for a little while at Hargrave. We had a squad too, and Matt Jones was right. Thinking about it, going into this game, it's not a game we should win. But I want to bring out this point, and Matt, tell me if I remember this right, because I tell this story a lot, and I want to make sure I don't get it wrong. The game ends up going into double overtime. But was there not a point of the game? I want to think either in regulation to send it to overtime or to send it to the second overtime that our good friend Cody Stumbo is inbounding the ball from the sideline and calls a timeout that we do not have. Do I remember that right?
I think you have that right. Yeah.
Calls a timeout. We don't, and we're down at this point. We're losing the game at this point. Calls a timeout. We do not have trying to inbound the ball. And these NCAA officials get together. And Matt, from the best of my knowledge, I want to think they got it wrong.
I think you're right. I think they went to the table and we were arguing you didn't have one. You guys thought you did, maybe. The table wasn't sure, and you got a timeout out of the deal.
We ended up getting a timeout out of the deal, which that's right. And I think it was to take us into overtime because we end up inbounding the ball. And I want to think Tyler Rogers hits a three and gets fouled at the buzzer, makes the free throw to send it into overtime. Brady, if you did, I know that Ort tuned into this game because in the locker room after the game, I checked our group chat and Ort had blown it up watching this game. But man.
Good memory.
What a fun memory.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Oh, so Matt, you're, Spring Hill, obviously, one of the first stepping stones in this journey for you. You mentioned after Spring Hill going to Combine, that was another head coaching experience for you. Pretty notorious, nationally recognized prep school at this point. Now, the Matt Jones that me and Brady knows, and I want Brady to chime in on this too. Brady has a lot more of the basketball experience than I do, but at this point, you have been all over the world. So how does all of this get started? How does Matt Jones hoops, and how does at this point, I'll kind of introduce it to the audience. You've been to Israel, you have been to Mexico, you've been Italy, Spain, all over the world doing basketball stuff. How does all of this get started to where the Matt Jones we know today stands?
My end goal was always to work in professional basketball. Obviously, everyone who coaches, there's some part of them that wants to make it the NBA. So when I decided to leave Combine and start kind of chasing pro basketball, I knew it was going to be an uphill battle. So in the meantime, I moved here to Lexington, Kentucky, and I had, experience working with players, training players, high school kids. So I kind of started a training business here in Lexington that I still operate to today. But in the meantime, was chasing pro basketball wherever that might take me. And with that, through a bunch of networking and just getting a couple lucky breaks, I was able to get my first pro basketball coaching experience in Israel. So spent a season coaching there for Brad Greenberg, who's the brother of Seth Greenberg, ESPN commentator. So was able to get that experience. And once I got that experience, it just opened all sorts of doors to me. Israel's a really high level professional basketball league, a lot of former NBA players, a lot of money's really good, all of that. So with that experience, it opened all sorts of new doors for me that allowed me to, I've done camps and like you're saying, different places, Italy, been back to Israel doing camps. So it's been, like a lot of things, a lot of it is just about opening up. Once you get your foot inside the door, it gets easier, a little bit easier at least, but it's more about kicking in the door to get your first opportunity.
Brady, I guess, where did we go wrong?
I mean, there's a lot of things we did wrong, Blue. A lot of things. A lot of things. Well, I'll ask this, and I'm like a squirrel, so I ask a million questions that are kind of all over the place. Jones, one question I have for you is, you've done all these different things, right? You've been pro and you've worked at virtually every level of basketball. What is your favorite? I'm gonna ask you, it's a little long-winded question here. Your favorite level that you've been at in terms of just you've enjoyed the most, whether it's I know you've had your cool experiences, but you've enjoyed the most and why? We'll start there and then I'll kind of, I got some other questions I kind of want to add to that.
I would say I have two favorite experiences. One of my favorite experiences was for sure my first time in Israel. Going there, just such a high level league, but more than anything, like, I wanted to coach pro basketball and I was able to, check that box and add that to my resume and just something I'd always kind of dreamed about. And pro basketball is a lot of fun coming from like college and the prep world where I was, because pro basketball is really just about the basketball. There's no recruiting, you're not worried about their grades. It's about how do we put the best basketball product out on the floor. And those guys are making pretty good money, so it's their job to be good and to be prepared. So I really did enjoy that, just being able to focus on basketball. My second favorite experience, honestly, was when I first moved here to Lexington. I helped out coaching at Transy here with Brian Lane, and the assistant coaches were Kyle Macy that played at UK, and then Steve Wright, who's like a legendary high school coach here. So I was just around three guys who've been around good basketball for a long time, and I wasn't doing a ton. It was just straight volunteering, but I loved it. I learned a lot from them. They were good guys to be around, and obviously people, Kentucky basketball royalty, like those are three names if you talk about basketball in this state that pretty much everybody knows. And that was a lot of fun for me. It was a different level. Division three is definitely a lot different than some of the other places I've been and things I've done, but I really did enjoy it a lot, just being around that type of people with that type of basketball pedigree.
I have to throw in there. Brady said he had more questions to go on to that, but I'm sitting here thinking of all these questions in my mind I want to ask, and I have to remind myself this is a semi-family friendly podcast. I'm sitting here in my mind that staff you mentioned at Transy, you obviously, Don Lane and Steve Wright, Kyle Macy. I would love to ask your favorite story from that, but we probably better keep. Keep some of it inside, but
That's probably a safe assessment.
before Brady gets in his question, I do want to ask you. You mentioned you've always want to coach. You've always wanted to coach pro basketball, and you have done player development with that we'll get into in a minute with players at all level, including the highest level of the NBA. What we have a lot of listeners who are current either high school or collegiate players on this podcast. If a player came up to you that is at high school or maybe even collegiate level and said, "Hey, Coach Jones, what is the one thing that you see the most common that you wished high school players worked on or that you wished high school coaches taught?" What would you say that is?
I think for players, it takes no ability to play as hard as you can. Like, I go to a lot of games, high school games, especially where I just don't think kids understand what playing hard really looks like a lot of time, where you're giving it your all. Where if you play as hard as you can, I don't care what school you go to, you're going to get on the floor because it's just such a rarity. Like it is almost a skill because people don't understand how much they have to give and how much harder they can play. I always make the comparison, if you watch like high level college basketball, is a lot of players, they're playing for 4 minutes at a time or 5 minutes at a time tops, unless you're one of the top maybe two or three players. Because if you're playing as hard as you can for 3, 4, 5 minutes, you should need to come out of the game if you're playing as hard as you can. So I know that's a little bit like pie in the sky, maybe over idealizing things, but people want to get on the floor, and being able to pass, dribble, and shoot and all that is great. But there's some God-given aspect to that. Not all of us were given all those God-given things. But I think just going out there and playing as hard as you can, running the floor, getting back on defense, going and rebounding, talking, just running as hard as you can, like you're gonna play no matter where you go. And that would probably be the number one thing I would say.
And I can piggyback off that, Jones, because if you watched the Kentucky game last night, the Ian Scheffling kid from Clemson, I mean,
Shefflin.
he played as hard as anybody on the court, and he, I mean, he rebounded like Oscar Tshiebwe out there, and like that was purely effort. I mean,
At
And
one
you look
point,
at
shot a
them.
three and it missed the whole goal.
I mean, it's, I think effort, I mean, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. I think effort, I think creates a lot of luck. I think in life, right, you create your own luck in a lot of ways. And I think by working hard, you do that. That's the number one way to do that. And I think that applies on the court as well. And I think that kind of showed last night, which we'll probably get into, but I think you made a great point.
Playing hard, I would say the other thing playing hard does is it buys you a longer leash with coach. If you're playing as hard as you can and you dribble it off your foot or you take a bad shot or whatever it may be, in my experience, most coaches are going to let that stuff slide a little bit more because you're playing hard. I think a lot of kids get frustrated. They make a mistake, coach pulls them out, or it feels like that to them. But it's like, all right, if you're playing as hard as you can and you're doing other positive things, that negative doesn't stick out quite as much. And you don't have to play as perfect or put as much pressure on yourself as you maybe would if you were just out there playing as hard as you can.
So, with that, I want to ask, the last couple of years, I had the opportunity to coach with Coach John Newton and Caleb Nelson at Madisonville North Hopkins. We had a few players come through during that time that had offers from Division One level. And one of the things I experienced for one of the first times in my high school coaching career was Division One coaching staffs reaching out to me about players that they were interested in. And one of the common things that I got was, and I want to ask you about this because you're so into player development, scouting, understanding things like hard work and what gets a player there. Two of the most, I guess, not shocking, but realistic things I heard was I once had a Division One staff reach out to me and say, I want three game films for this player. I want his two worst games and his one best game. And why do you think a college coach at the Division I level would ask for that? Is it something like what you mentioned about how if they're playing hard, the positives will kind of shadow the negatives? Why would a college coach ask for two of the worst games from a player?
I think what you said is correct. Just seeing, when things aren't going well, what's the effort? What's the intensity like? Chances are, if you're getting recruited by a Division One school, you're probably the best player on your team or one of the two or three best players on your team. So, but then you go to the college level, and chances are you aren't going to be one of the best one or two players on your team, and you're going to just be playing a role. And if you're just playing a role, you better be doing all the other stuff other than just scoring. You better be rebounding, you better be defending, you better be in the right places. So I think that's definitely part of it. And then I think also, coaches want to know what your ceiling looks like, what your floor looks like, because you're going to have bad days, and they want to have an idea like what's the worst version of him kind of look like, because at some point we're going to see that, and it's inevitable in the length of a season.
And Brady, I know you've got some follow-up questions for Matt, but Matt, I want to also highlight, you recently just got back to the United States. You took a little few months stint down in Guadalajara, Mexico. Tell us about that. You mentioned Israel being an extremely high level of basketball and how much you enjoyed that. Tell us about your time in Guadalajara. Why did you go down there to take an opportunity on this team as a coach? And what did you learn from it going forward?
I just spent a few months coaching at LMBP Mexico, which is the top division of pro basketball there. It's kind of an interesting league because it runs from like the middle of the summer to the finals of the league are going on right now. So, and you know, in the United States, we think about basketball being, November to, March or April or whatever. So it's kind of unique. Latin America has some kind of different calendars for basketball. But I was down there coaching. Really high level league. I would say we had three players on our team. Yeah, three players on our team who were former NBA draft picks. So I mean, it's high level basketball. So I was down there working as an assistant coach in Guadalajara. Really good experience for me overall. I hadn't coached in a couple years, so it was good just to be back. I kind of had the itch to get back to coaching and kind of not just doing player development stuff. But probably the number one thing I learned down there is, I have a desire to be a head coach again, and I was working for another head coach who was also a younger head coach, and just learning from him, because we were figuring stuff out together, and seeing, okay, like any head coach you work for, some of the stuff you do, some of the stuff the head coach do you like, some of it you don't like, some of it you think you can do better. So I think this go around, I went in with much more of like a preparation in mind, where I'm like, all right, I am going to be a head coach at some level somewhere again in the next year or two or whatever it might be for me. Which of this stuff am I going to take away? Which of it do I think I can do differently or better? And just being more intentional about writing that stuff down, and while it was fresh on my head, I think that was probably the number one takeaway I had.
So, Matt, what is looking at now? That's a good point. What would you say? Because you've been a head coach and you've been an assistant. What is the main difference? Like everyone says, when you take that seat over, what is that main adjustment that's the hardest that you've had, that you've seen?
I think the hardest thing for me, whether I've been a head coach at the professional level, as a head coach at a prep school, is when everyone's looking at you. When, whether it's a pressure point in the season or just a pressure point in a game, and you're the one making the decision. And I think sticking to your values is like, it's easy to say, if I was the head coach, this is what I would do, this is what would be our values. But then when your values get questioned and you're feeling the pressure, are you going to stick to those things, or are you going to fold, or are you going to be humble enough to be like, all right, maybe these things I thought were important aren't quite as important, and I do need to make a change. And I think that's the constant teeter totter you're always kind of balancing, is like, what part of my values stay the same no matter what? What ones do I need to be more flexible with? What ones do I need to consider changing? I think that's the hardest part as being a head coach, is because everyone walks into their first head coaching experience and thinking that, they've got it figured out and they know what they're going to be about. And then, like as you said, you take that, you slide over 12 inches on the bench, and then once you have that spotlight and that pressure on you, it changes. It changes you. It's not quite as easy as you may think.
I've never been a head coach, but I've always thought about my first time out, what I would say. How many times would I stutter? Sit down, right? You sit down. I mean, like, seriously, I feel like that's like a coming to Jesus moment. That first time out, every coach, John Wooden had his first time out. He sat down there, like, you sit down, you're like, what in the world? Like, I'm sure that's got to be a surreal feeling. A great feeling, but you get the hang of it.
I think it's important to slow yourself down, because sometimes, timeouts are kind of strange. You guys know this as coaches. Some timeouts go by real fast, and some of them seem like they take forever. So for me, I think like what I've learned as an assistant to the head coach is taking a deep breath before you go into that timeout and just think about, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Because if you try to talk about too many things, they're not going to remember five things. You need to pick one or two things, keep the main thing, but making sure you know what you're going to say going into it. Because in the heat of battle, or you're frustrated because you're down, or it's a tight game, or whatever, it's easy to just sit down and then all of a sudden you forget what you're going to say. So I think that's my number one takeaway, is all right, let's take a deep breath here and let's make sure we're the main thing is the main thing, and we don't get sidetracked.
And just know, per Cody Stumbo, you can always get an extra timeout. Just try it.
Question. No question.
Just go for it. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that's something I think about often, and I want to get your opinion on that again, Matt. Like, all three of us on this podcast right now, me, you, and Brady, all three, I guess, got our start in college basketball at some level, whether it be NCAA, NAIA. And, as a young coach, when I took my first head coaching career, as an assistant at the college level first, I kept thinking in my head, even though I had mad respect for our head coach, J.R. Hammond, I kept thinking in my mind, I'm ready for this, right? Like, I've got this. Like, if I get my own team, this is what I'm going to do. Especially if it's at the high school level, I'm going to be able to do this. And, it's going to, basically, it's going to be a bonus on top of every other coach that has not been in this scenario. And what I found out real quick is almost what you said with taking a deep breath. at the end of the season, my first head coaching career, going from an assistant at the NAIA level to high school, at the end of that season, one of the first things I realized was, wow, like I should have taken that deep breath. There were so many things that I didn't realize that I should have realized. Did you notice that going from, you know, being at a GA level and then going to a high school level, head coach level, even at the level you were at Combine, did you feel that of, okay, there were some things that, man, I didn't even realize this as being a head coach until I was a head coach?
Yeah. As you're saying, you know, we all think about, if I was a head coach, this is what I was going to do. And there's parts of us that are just never prepared to be a head coach. The only way you learn is by doing. Like, no one's ever fully ready. So for me, especially now, when I look back, what I was doing when I was 25, 26, when I was at Combine, and versus what I know now and how I operate now, is just like night and day. But yeah, I think that's part of being any, you know, I think any good coach or anybody who is self-aware after a season is going to sit down, talk to their players, talk to their coaches, and be like, all right, what was good? What wasn't good? What can we improve on? And then, you know, use the direction from, you know, the people around you to kind of figure out how you're going to improve in the off season. I think that's kind of what I've learned, at least, is, you know, taking, I can think whatever I want to think, but if not everybody around me feels the same way or doesn't see it the same way, then there's some sort of disconnect. So I think taking their perspective into consideration is pretty important.
I think that's great. I think that's great. So being at both levels, and this is something me and Brady have talked about in preparation for this podcast, I wanted to talk to you about. You have coached players at the highest level, professional level, and you've also trained a lot of those players at the high school level that have the potential to be there and also don't have the potential to be there. Looking at high school hoops in Kentucky this year, where most of our listeners are from, last year we saw a matchup between two small town teams, Lyon County, Harlan County, obviously with players like Travis Perry now at Kentucky, Trent Noah now at Kentucky. Those guys graduated. What are you seeing from Kentucky high school basketball? Is it going to make a transition back from those small town 4-year teams to more of a more talent level team of all around with, you know, 5-6 players with, you know, major talent, athleticism, abilities? Or are we looking at a transition in Kentucky basketball?
I think there's a transition, but I think that transition extends even outside of Kentucky. And where I'm going with this is, I think the importance of being able to shoot the basketball has just changed basketball where you go. Well, no matter what high school you go to anywhere in the country, is if you can shoot the three-pointer at a high clip, whether you have a lot of size or you don't, you're going to give yourself a chance. And obviously, you know, like the two examples you gave, those are two really high level high school players who were able to put their team, but the thing that both those kids have in common is they could both really shoot it, and they had other guys around them who could really shoot it. So, you know, playing the right way with ball movement and the ability to shoot, like, it compensates for a lot of other things, whether, you know, your team lacks size or your lack athleticism, or you lack depth and you only play 6 players. You know, if you can shoot the three and get good looks because you run good offense, it's going to give you a chance. And I think that's pretty true, you know, majority of the places I go and watch.
Now, go ahead, Brady.
No, you're good.
We've all three talked about going to a lot of these games together, really evaluating high school basketball, talking about high school basketball. Matt, is there a team that you have seen thus far that may be a, I almost want to say sleeper team, but maybe not sleeper team? Is there a team that you really have high expectations for that maybe not everybody else has seen yet?
It's a good question. I've with the season just starting last week, I've only seen a handful of games. What I will say, everyone in the state knows Great Crossing is good. Great Crossing's even better this year than last year. We've got some young players and some size that didn't play a whole lot of minutes last year, where I think their team talent is on an even another tier than it was last year, where there's, I don't know, six or seven guys on that roster who are college scholarship players at some level, multiple Division I players. Obviously, I think there's four or five Division I players on that team. So that's one team I have seen that I know is, everyone knows them, but I think they're even more talented than they were last year.
Well, and obviously, you're talking about great crossing Malachi Moreno, who has committed to the University of Kentucky, in that mix for these Kentucky high school teams that are going to be on the radar this year as a contender for the championship. Is Kentucky, and this is kind of a tough question, but I feel like a lot of our listeners get brought up on this. Players that we see go to the next level. Obviously, I don't think anybody in the country predicted that Reed Sheppard would be the number three overall pick when he came out of the KHSAA state tournament. But where is Kentucky on the list nationally of high school players being ready for the next level?
It's hard to speak on the whole country, obviously. I think what's one thing's for sure in terms of how much people care about high school basketball, Kentucky, I'm not sure there's any place that they care about it more, which is part of the reason I love living here. But if you look for a state, especially right now, this kind of maybe going 2 years back to 2 years forward for Kentucky, which isn't a huge population state. They're pumping out quite a few high-level basketball players. So I think right now is like a really good time for the state and is putting a good spotlight on the state. But I think, I mean, I'm not a lifelong Kentucky resident, but just the way people talk, it's like, man, there hasn't been this type of talent that's come out consistently year after year in a long time, if ever. So I think that's part of the that's an exciting thing to be around as a person who lives in Kentucky right now.
So
Yeah,
me and Brady
outside
have.
of go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, I said outside of that, I mean, I don't travel to all 50 states and all that, so it's kind of I try to avoid speaking on things I don't totally know about, but I would my main thing is if you look at success in high school athletics, a lot of it is just based on populations. The bigger your population is, the more, more concentration of athletes there are going to be. More urban areas, there's going to be more athletes because there's more population, more diversity, more everything. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, me and Brady have talked about, some exciting things that we can do on this show and some things to get everybody more involved. And we have kind of developed I hope you're ready for this, Matt. We have developed a quick round of questions. All right. And I don't want you to think about this. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you two options. And whichever pops in your head first that you prefer, name it. Okay.
done. Hear it.
Right. Coffee, hot or iced?
Iced.
Okay. Chicken or pizza?
Pizza.
Queso or salsa?
Queso.
Pancakes or waffles?
Oh, waffles.
What kind of syrup?
I mean, maple, of course.
Okay.
And what are you topping it with? Specialist, I don't need anything else other than that. That's good with me. Simple.
Now I will say there's more you can do with a waffle,
That's
personally.
a fact.
You can chicken and waffles. You can throw strawberries on a waffle. I don't know if a strawberry can go on a pancake, can they? I guess
Yeah.
they can.
I feel like they can, but I've never been to a restaurant that sold chicken and pancakes, right?
Wow.
Pancakes get too soggy too quick, in my opinion. That's why I like waffles a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think it's easier to find a pancake, but if you find a good Belgian waffle from somewhere, that you can't match. I think it's unbeatable. It's unmatched.
That's fact.
I
That's
know that both
fact.
of you have probably experienced this. One of my favorite things in Europe, would they would have those waffles that would have like the waffle, the ice cream on top, like the syrup, like maybe caramel.
Can't beat it. Europeans have breakfast figured out. That's a fact.
They've got it figured out. I feel like that's a great conversation starter. Pancakes or waffles?
It's an undefeated one.
It's unmatched.
So I feel like that needs to be a go-to for just getting icebreakers, getting conversations started.
Fact.
There. You know, one thing though, I never understood the chicken and waffles thing for a while until I tried it, and then it's amazing. I think it's something. It's one of those you got to give a chance. Like when you're at breakfast, you don't really feel like you're gonna order chicken, but it's so good.
Sweet and savory is always a good combination.
Great combo. I think one of my, one of the things that I feel like is an underrated restaurant because of one thing, in Kentucky, we have things like Raising Cane's, Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's. But if you go to Slim Chickens, they have pancake or chicken and waffles. Nobody else has that of the chicken places in Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
I get you need to go down to Gus's down in Lexington behind Carson's. They got chicken and waffles.
Oh, well, okay. I've not been to Gus's then, I guess, but
I'm giving
I'm
them a
thinking,
shout out.
yeah. If we need all these sponsors. If Brady's giving you these shout outs and I'm giving you these shout outs on the show, feel free to just throw some money, the drill's way.
Absolutely.
So Matt, obviously you just got back to the US from Guadalajara, Mexico, coaching at, their Premier League down there in Mexico. What's in store for you now? Where is Matt Jones? We know that you're doing some player development stuff, you're doing some training. Where do you think you may go from here?
Right now, I do some stuff for an NBA agency. So right now, doing a lot of film breakdown for their clients, guys playing in Europe, guys playing in the G League, guys playing in the NBA. So doing some video film breakdown, helping them out with that right now. But I would like to go coach, kind of keeping my ears open to, go to Europe or Asia. This kind of time of year, they start firing coaches and making coaching changes. So keeping my ears open for that. But in the meantime, staying busy with, in the gym with high school kids here, doing the video stuff, helping with some camps and different events stuff that's going on, just being a basketball hustler right now. But kind of this also it's the slow time of year, so it's also nice to catch my breath and start preparing for 2025 a little bit more.
Well, Matt, as a guy that knows basketball, we have, I would venture to say that 85% of our listeners are from the state of Kentucky. And I would venture to say that of that 85%, I would venture to say that 75% of those are from Eastern Kentucky. And knowing guys like me and Winston and Casey Huff, a lot of people bleed blue in Eastern Kentucky, Matt. So I've got to ask a little question. As a basketball savant like yourself, who studies the game, watches the game, loves the game, a lot of talk around the Kentucky Wildcats this year, the new hire of Mark Pope, a little bit of a different roster we've seen come into Kentucky than we've been used to the last 15 years with John Calipari. He's able to take that roster, kind of mix it into a style he likes, reaches number four in the country, play Clemson this week, gets that loss. What is your state of the Cats right now? Can you talk on maybe a little bit of what your expectation is for a Mark Pope-led Kentucky Wildcats this season?
I love watching them run offense as most people do here. Obviously, kind of a change from how Calipari played. But I think just the ball movement, the player movement, all that is, is how modern basketball is played. So I think it's been refreshing for whether you're someone who eats, sleeps it, and breathes it like I do, or if you're, the casual basketball fan, it's different and it's fun to watch. So I think it's been fun, living in the state, living where I do, just seeing people be excited about basketball in a different way. I think that part's been fun. But I think with them this year, they're maybe the pieces add up to be maybe better than they are talent-wise, just because of how they move the ball and how they can shoot the ball. They're capable of beating anybody in the country, and we saw that when they beat Duke. But they move the ball and they shot it well from three. And made meaningful timely shooting. Or this most recent loss versus Clemson. The shots didn't fall, and they never fall quite the same on the road, especially in a hostile environment. And if you know there's one thing about the SEC, you're going to play in a hostile environment about every night. So it's exciting. It's fun. I think it'll be interesting in a year's time when he adds all these, five-star recruits and high-level guys. And, as everybody in college basketball is now figuring out how you mix in with the guys who have been there, the guys you get in the portal and freshmen, and it's just always a constant, almost revolving door and trying to make the pieces to your puzzle fit. Obviously, he's done a good job with that here so far. Next year when you add in high-level high school recruits to the mix, it's just another, the puzzle piece. Those puzzle pieces fit a little bit differently, and I think that will be, the challenge for him.
And, obviously, like you mentioned, different style, but also being able to mix those guys. We've seen a Mark Pope team that this year, with the additions of Travis Perry and Trent Noah that we talked about earlier from Lyon County, Harlan County, we see the addition of even more Kentucky guys next year, like Malachi Moreno and Jasper Johnson. Do you see a trend of, and I feel like this is something that we get brought up to us a lot, either from listeners of this podcast or everywhere else. You see teams now taking a little bit more of a step back toward pride in your school, right? Pride in your home state. You've seen guys get hired that for coaches that played at that school, played at that university, like Mark Pope playing at Kentucky, winning a national championship at Kentucky, being hired as the head coach. And you see those guys recruiting more in-state players that may wearing the Kentucky jersey may mean a little bit more to them. Is that something that is it just another cycle in the NCAA? Is that something that we're seeing that's a hot item right now?
Interesting question. I think a lot of that to me is probably going to fall back on what your athletic director and your president want. We talk a lot about coaches and all that, but all these coaches have people above them and people who hired them. And, when you sit down to interview to be the coach at Kentucky or wherever it may be, those type of things are going to get asked. With Coach Cal, that was always the thing about taking in state kids or not taking in state kids. And I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer, but all of us have bosses in life, and I think what answering to what is wanted from above, but also, if you're a person like Mark Pope who is trying to win over people, it's not a bad move to take those in-state kids, the ones that are good enough. And right now there are kids who are good enough to play at Kentucky in the state. It's probably a good move to, set yourself up for some favorability with the fan base if things don't go wrong or if they don't go right, excuse me. I think it's a smart move, and it's also a smart move. It's not as hard a decision to make when you've got 2 5-star kids in your backyard who both grew up 20 minutes from a campus.
Brady, do you have any thoughts on that to add to Matt? Since college basketball room.
I think he said it. I think it wasn't really a difference with Cal. I think it was more or less like the talent had to fit with the style, and I think Mark Pope came in, and I think Jasper and Malachi fit really well in the system that he's coming in wanting to play. And you look at a guy like Darius Miller, who thrived under Cal. He played a really good role for him. And I think there's a lot of pressure with how passionate the fans are here to take an in-state kid, but it's also that it has to fit, and it has to be a player that's good enough. Because at the end of the day, it is Kentucky. It's a blue blood, and you're doing the kid a disservice by bringing him here with unrealistic expectations. Because I forgot about Dom Hawkins and Derek Willis, who had great careers. Dante Allen filled a role for us. It does have to fit. We probably had more Kentucky guys than people probably think, but I think Matt hit the head on the nail or whatever. I just messed up, but that analogy, but he was right in saying having Malachi and Jasper so close with Coach Pope and it fitting into his system, I think is going to be a good fit for him.
Matt, what is your favorite? Is there a college program in the NCAA right now? Doesn't have to be, high major, mid major, low major, whatever. Is there a college basketball system in the country right now that you just catch yourself loving to watch more than anybody else?
This year, probably Drake. Ben McCollum is the coach there. He's a Division II coach, and had crazy success in Division II, and then made the jump last year to Drake. And they just run a real modern basketball. There's a lot of movement. It's hard to guard. It's very European. And I, being the background I have, I kind of like rooting for the underdog, the guys who kind of grinded their way up. And he's definitely, grinded his way up to this opportunity. And they're playing really good basketball right now. And he's a guy where, in 2 years, I think he's going to be at an SEC or an ACC or a Big Ten school, just because all he's done is win. And with how the portal and NIL stuff work now, it doesn't take long to rebuild a program. It's about being able to identify what guys can play for you and play in your system. And he was able to bring some guys from Division II and get some guys in the portal, and they're playing really good basketball right now. So the basketball junkie in me, that's my one. Drake and Coach Ben McCollum.
Well, I'm going to have to ask another question, Matt. I'm going to give I'm going to allow you to give your shout out to your Wolverines now. You get one. The floor is yours, Matt. You had a big weekend last week. The floor is yours.
I tell people all the time, like, being a basketball person, people always ask me, like, what NBA team do you like? What college team do you like? I don't have a team. I don't like the NFL. Like, there's only one thing I've ever rooted for in my life, and it's Michigan football. I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. I grew up an hour from Ann Arbor. So my whole childhood, I've had Ohio State just thumping Michigan and having to deal with it and taking crap from people. So these last 4 years have been glorious. And then to win again this Saturday was wild, wild.
I didn't realize it was been 4 years. I didn't realize they beat him. I didn't realize Ryan Day's never beat him.
He's
That's
one in four.
insane. Because are they, is Ohio State making the playoffs?
Yeah, they're gonna get in. They're probably still
Okay,
gonna.
well, which is insane because they're calling for him to get fired. Like, that is insane because of that rivalry.
Different type of standard. Just growing up around it too, it's like, Kentucky Louisville is definitely like a rivalry, and I understand it, but I mean, it's in state, which makes it interesting. Where in Ohio State, Michigan, it's two entire states. Not that there's not people in the state of Ohio who root for Cincinnati or other schools, or in Michigan, people do root for Michigan State. But I think when you have a whole states going against each other, the hate is very real. So yeah, definitely a fun thing to be a part, to grow up around, and obviously the last few years to be on the winning side of it as a fan has been pretty enjoyable.
So this would not be the time for me to say OH.
You're not getting a response from me.
I can't say that I'm an Ohio State fan. I've never supported Ohio State in anything. Not that I have anything against them as a Kentucky guy either, but I feel like that's always so fun to see that just that instant rivalry, not only amongst schools, but amongst people when you get Michigan Wolverines and Ohio State Buckeyes together. It's one of the greatest.
Which I do kind of like the trend of I think after every game, if you win at an opposing field, I think you have to try.
The
It should be
flag.
I think it should be a game. You should try to plant the flag at midfield, and it's the other team's responsibility to try to stop it. That would add a whole other dynamic. I don't care if it's the first game of the season or the last. If you upset your team, if you win on the road, you deserve to plant the flag. And it's maybe it's a captain's duel, like a rugby scrum.
It's going to be the thing where in college football, where if there's any sort of close to upset, they put all the cops around the goalposts so you can't take it. I think that's going to be a new thing. There's going to be cops circled around the logo at the 50-yard line for protecting the logo.
I mean, after that, I mean, it happened like in five games this past weekend.
For sure. For sure.
But
I guess it would be pretty cool. We saw Vandy carry the goalpost all the way down to the river in Nashville and throw it in. I guess it'd be pretty interesting to see a goalpost go into the Great Lakes.
That would be cool. That'd be amazing.
Oh. Well, Matt Jones, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to be on this show without giving you the opportunity to answer this question. Obviously, you've worked with a lot of high-level talent over your career and still continue to do so. I see a lot of things on Facebook, social media from Matt Jones Hoops. If I have someone interested in learning the game of basketball, truly from someone who is willing to share their passion of the game and truly teach the game of basketball, how can they get in contact with Matt Jones Hoops to set that up?
You can find me on all social media platforms. It's just Matt Jones Hoops. My website's mattjoneshoops.com. Do player development stuff here in Lexington, but do a lot of camp stuff. I've done camps in Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, kind of all over the map. Do a lot of that stuff in the summer. But yeah, feel free to hit me up anytime. Like I said, I've got middle school kids. It's all the way up to I got three guys I work with regularly playing in the NBA right now. So kind of have the full spectrum of players. Do a lot of stuff in the summers with college players as well. So feel free to reach out to me. If you're a friend of this show, you're a friend of mine. So
Well, we have seen you on the sidelines of those NBA games, either in Memphis, Oklahoma City, or somewhere. So I can tell you right now, if I had a kid, I know they where they would be going to get their learning of the game on and player development, and it would be with Matt Jones Hoops. So Matt, it's an honor to have you on here and talk hoops with us. I'm really going to make a movement, and I don't think anybody on this call right now would object to that, but I'm going to make a movement. I think the next episode that we have Matt Jones on should be live from Chevy Chase Inn.
that's fine with me. Count me in. Count me
We have
in.
to. We have to do a live show, Blue. I think we have to. It's. We have to.
We have to. We have to.
Talk
I
about
think. I think it's what the people want. I think it's even more what we want. So I think it
it.
really has to happen.
We have to do it. I
Yeah.
think.
Well, we've got Matt Jones in on it, especially if it's from Chevy Chase Inn. We may even convince him to come over to Cellar or somewhere like that if we have a live show from there. But again, Matt, truly, truly an honor to have you on the show with us, and we learn from you every time we talk to you. So I know our listeners do as well. Man, we wish the best of luck to you going forward in everything that basketball has in store for you, and just a privilege to talk to you on this show.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Definitely looking forward to listening to future guests.
Live from Lexington and Dallas, you know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Wes Smith, Brady Kennedy, Matt Jones. Until next week.
You know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.